From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Double Game Week 25 is fast approaching. Is Ronaldo going to reward us with returns, or are Brighton going to bang? All that and more on this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello, welcome along to a slightly later podcast due to the busy midweek of Premier League action only finishing on Thursday night. There is plenty to get to and not too much time to do it with the double game week 25 deadline on Saturday at 11 a.m. UK time. So let's get down to business and welcome along our guest. Bonjour to French football expert Julien Laurent.
Bonjour Kelly, bonjour everyone.
That's the limit of my French, so I'm glad you didn't ask me anything else. I've also realised I've got myself in a world of trouble because our next guest is also fluent in French, journalist Tom Williams. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Kelly.
Phew, an English response. Enough of that nonsense. Anyway, we need to persuade our next guest. We are a very serious FPL podcast because it is his first time on here and we are delighted to have his company. He was ranked fourth in South Korea last season, finishing inside the top 10,000. Please welcome Andy Park, aka FPL Sonaldo on Twitter. Andy, welcome along. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly, for that lovely introduction. It's a pleasure to be on and very excited to speak FPL with all you guys today.
Does Andy know about, you know, it's his debut, so the song, you know, the singing. Do you know your initiation? what did you pick? Oh, you didn't know? You've got time to think about it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I'm sure you've realised from listening to Jules on other podcasts, because I know you do, Andy, that Jules is well known for being a bit of a wind-up merchant. Every single debutant we've had on this podcast, he's tried to do that. As of yet, none of the guests have fallen for it. So please, please, please do not be the first.
He might have a great voice.
He might do, but this is not the podcast to find it out, Jules. We're still waiting to hear your lovely voice as well. Let's talk FPL instead. How is your season going? I'll let you say some of the stats because I've already said how you've done in previous seasons, but you're having a good campaign this year as well, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think this season has been a wild ride. You know, a lot of postponements, a lot of unknowns, and very different from traditional FPL seasons. However, I think I'm in a good position to push for the top 10K towards the latter part of the season. And FPL is a marathon, right? So you just kind of have to accept the red arrows and kind of hope for a lot more green arrows moving forward. But, you know, FPL is FPL. But today my objective is to make sure I'm on the good side for Jules and have a good friendship moving forward. So hopefully not too much banter.
Oh, he's a pussycat, really. Don't worry. It's all fun. It's all fun. This week you got 69 points. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I think it's just an average score. Again, now the double game weeks are approaching and we have a lot of fixtures. It'll be very interesting how the next few game weeks play out for a lot of FPL managers.
Okay, well, let's reflect on the drama of the last few days from an FPL perspective. We're going to start with one of the last two fixtures, actually. Liverpool beat Leicester, Diogo Jota becoming the game week's joint highest game week scorer with 16. Lucky for all of those who captained him. Tom, you must be very happy with that decision as he helped you to your 78 points this week.
I mean, you say lucky, Kelly. I'd like to think there was actually a degree of skill involved in that choice. I must admit, I was slightly anxious before those two games on Thursday night because I had captain Jota and I was on a red arrow at that point. So I was in need of a decent haul from him. And thankfully, he produced the goods. That was a nice end to the game. Like, I remember thinking like beforehand, not that I, you know, sort of permanently obsess about FPL, that was sort of thing to myself. What would a decent Thursday look like for me and my team? And I was thinking, oh, Arsenal clean sheet, Liverpool clean sheet, and maybe a Jota goal. So got all three of those, and then Jota got a second goal and some bonus points. So without sounding too smug about it, I did feel quite smug once all those scores came in.
Sounds like your game week panned out very similarly to mine. I needed a big Thursday as well. In that game, Andy, Mo Salah started on the bench, but he did come on and look pretty lively. Do you think we do need him back ASAP? I noticed that you got Son in this game week and captained him over Jota. Are you nervous about no Mo at the moment, or is there a plan to get him in?
I think it's very wise to assume that Mo Salah, you know, starts the next game regardless of the risk. Certainly in his 30-minute cameo, he had, I think, two big chances and looked fantastic. So Mo Salah should definitely be in our minds for game week 25. But with Gaming 25 being a double game week and the Man United assets and Bruno and Ronaldo being popular captaincy options, I think you can delay this Salah transfer for one more game week and wait till Gaming 26.
Okay, elsewhere, Aston Villa versus Leeds was a brilliant 3-3 draw, wasn't it? The Villa midfielders were where the points were at, with Philippe Coutinho equaling Jota's 16. But there's options right across that midfield, with Jacob Ramsey only costing 4.7. He's already gone up in price this week. Imagine benching his 14 points, Jules.
God, imagine.
Imagine. Oh, man, until the last minute, I was like, surely I start him. Surely Leeds, such an open game. A lot of running to do. This is what he's so good at, is running and make those runs into the box. And then I thought, okay, you know what? Gallagher away at Norwich. This is surely as well. He's going to do similar things, if not better. So I kept Gallagher in the team and bench Jacob Ramsey, and should have known better, you know, because it was such a... It was just such a game for him, really, that I'm really annoyed with myself.
Can I just say quickly before we move on, I just wanted to highlight that as well as Jacob Ramsey, Jules also had Gabriel on the bench.
I thought you were my friend.
Joel Matip, who got a goal, who got an assist rather than a clean sheet, just so that everyone's...
I thought you were my friend. We've known each other 15 years and you do this to me.
Everyone's in full possession of the information.
I was being kind, Tom. I was being kind. He had a bad enough week benching Jacob Ramsey.
Unreal.
Basically, I'm doing that not so much to take the mick out of Jules, but just so that all the FPL managers out there who had tough weeks know that they're not alone.
I really
even the guy
you were
who knows
friend.
As much about the game as Julien Laurence
really
occasionally has
friend.
The odd bad week himself.
Andy, just so you know, usually I get 100 points, 120, sometimes 200. This week I had 50 because it was a quiet week for me. I just wanted to put that out, you know.
Jules's overall rank will suggest otherwise. Anyway, one player we all had that produced yet again was Jarrod Bowen, scoring the winner for West Ham against Watford with a little bit of help from a heavy deflection. Is he still a must hold, would you say, Tom, despite not having any doubles planned?
Yes, I think so. He is second top scoring midfielder in FPL currently. And yeah, he's not too expensive. He doesn't take up too much space. And I think even though there are lots of players in that area of the pitch who've got double game weeks coming up, I think Bowen is so consistent, is in the form of his life, plays so high up the pitch, everything that West Ham do seems to go through him. So yeah, I suspect I'll be keeping him in my team for the long haul.
And finally, Sinaldo, a word on Newcastle as well, because particularly in that second half, a brilliant performance. Ryan Fraser, he had a brilliant season back in 2018-2019, didn't he? He's reunited with his former manager from Bournemouth, Eddie Howe. Is now the time to start looking in their direction?
I don't think I would look into investing in one of their assets, but for sure, Newcastle's defensive line has been revamped. Kieran Trippier has always been such a marvelous footballer, and it's nice to see him back scoring that very nice free kick. However, a good thing to note about teams like Newcastle at this part of the season is that they're desperate. Their back's against the wall. They need to get out of the relegation zone. So they'll be really fighting for 3 points, 1 point, whatever the case may be. So in that sense, Newcastle may be a good team to invest in further down the line.
Yeah, 13 points for Ryan Fraser in that game. Kieran Trippier with 8 points. He is currently flagged, though, with a bit of an injury. So worth keeping an eye on Eddie Howe's press conference for news on that one. A quick update then on our FPL Pod mini league before we move on. And it's still as you were at the top, with Money Mace leading the league. But shout out to Chris Allman, who scored 94 points and shot up to eighth in our table. Well, that covers off some of the headlines from Game Week 24. And by the time this podcast is with you, it will be less than 24 hours until Game Week 25 gets underway. And this week sees Manchester United and Brighton both play twice. So next up, we'll be asking which Red Devils and Seagulls will be coming into your team. Here are the fixtures for both Manchester United and Brighton. Manchester United have two home games. They'll face Southampton on Saturday for welcoming the Seagulls to Old Trafford in midweek. Graham Potter's side have two away games, a visit to Watford on Saturday prior to their trip then up north. Let's start with Manchester United, because recently they've been a bit of an FPL frustration for us, haven't they?
They're very frustrating assets to own, but at this point in time, you do have to invest in them or keep them for the double game week in 25. The popular assets being De Gea, Bruno Fernandes, as well as Cristiano Ronaldo. So I do believe either Bruno or Ronaldo will have the highest captaincy this game week.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about Cristiano Ronaldo then. 12.5 million. He's pricey. He was benched against Burnley. All three of you have him. Jules, how are you feeling about him?
I think it's really fascinating because if you listen to Ralf Rangnick and the explanation why he didn't start against Burnley was, oh, you know, we'd have to run a lot and press a lot. And for that, I prefer Cavani. Okay, so Burnley hoofed the ball all the time. So I don't know where the pressing would come from. And now you play Southampton, who really, really do a lot of running and are very intense. And that in that game, you will have to press. And then Brighton, exactly the same. So if you benched him against Burnley for those reasons, and they might not have been the real reasons, but if you benched him for those reasons, there's no reason why you would start him for a game where actually he, whoever is your center forward, would really have this time to do a lot of running and a lot of press and been really intense, which Cristiano probably doesn't do as much as someone else like Edinson Cavani. So saying that, I expect him, surely you cannot bench him twice in a row. It's impossible. Not Cristiano, not at this stage, even if he hasn't scored for five games in a row. Considering the form that United are on and how much they need points, I expect him to start those two games. But I don't think it'd be easy for him. I don't think it'd be easy for United either. We saw Southampton away at Spurs and how well they played. This is going to be a very tough game for Cristiano and for United. So I think you have to, if you have him, you have to play him. I think you almost have to captain him and hope for the best. But I can't see this one being so straightforward.
Yeah, it's his longest goal drought for 10 years. Would you be bringing him in, Tom, if you didn't have him?
Probably not, actually. I mean, I think one thing that works in his favour if you're already a Ronaldo owner is that there aren't a huge amount of great options in that attacking area. There aren't really any forwards in the game who are in fantastic form at the moment. So it doesn't. I don't feel like having Ronaldo means that I'm going to miss out on points that other forwards would be scoring because he's not alone in not scoring many points. I think you need at least one United attacker for this game week. And, you know, Ronaldo and Bruno Fernandes are the two obvious candidates. But yeah, I don't think I'd be in a mad hurry to bring him in if I didn't have him. I just sort of feel like I've kind of had half an eye on this double game week for a while, knowing it was coming up. So you obviously can't transfer out any United players with that approaching. But yeah, as we've said, United's recent form, Ronaldo's recent form, does not suggest that we should expect a goal fest from either of these two games against Southampton or Brighton. Brighton in particular, very solid defensively. He almost feels like a kind of default pick in the sense that we know his potential as a goal scorer. And if you're not going to pick him and potentially captain him for two home games like this, then, you know, what's the point of even having him?
I have two very quick points here that I want to make. First, I kind of disagree with Jules about whether he's going to get benched and whether it's straightforward. I do believe that he will at least get 1.5 two games in the next two games, as in, you know, hopefully 90 minutes, 90 minutes. This is because if you look at their next four fixtures, they play Atletico, and before Atletico, they play Leeds. So I do believe that after this benching, he plays the next two, gets benched against Leeds. And for sure, Cristiano has to play against Atletico, which is his, you know, one of his favorite teams to play against. So I'm very confident he gets those 90 minutes. And also, you know, Ronaldo's XG per 90 is still not too bad. In the last five game weeks, he's first amongst all forwards in terms of shots in the box. So the chances are coming, whether he scores or not. His instinct is still there. It is Cristiano Ronaldo. So you just have to hope that the chances will come and he'll be able to, you know, shake off the rust and score.
Is Bruno Fernandes a better option? You may remember the last time Manchester United had a double back in game week 22. Bruno did outscore his Portuguese teammate. So maybe we're all looking in the wrong direction. If you had neither, who would you say is the better option, Jules?
It's a really good point. I think Bruno has created the most chances this season in the league. What we saw in that first half against Burnley, though, is that he was playing a little bit deeper in the sense that it's him, for example, who switched the play on the Pogba goal to Sancho and then Shaw for the cross. And by the time he can't be in the box, he can't do everything. So it looks like he's still the playmaker, but at times a deeper playmaker, which obviously would mean less time in the box, maybe less shot as well. So it'd be interesting. I think if you don't have any, I would go for Bruno instead of Cristiano. If you already have Cristiano, as we've been mentioning, keep him and captain him, of course. But I think Bruno could be a very interesting asset to have in this double game week.
And then you throw into that the confusion around the penalty situation. Ronaldo missed one in the FA Cup, but then did step up before Bruno in the shootouts take his. And of course, Ronaldo has the experience of doing it in all of the major finals pretty much. Who do you reckon is going to get the nod from Rangnick if they get a spot kick, Tom?
It's a brave man who tells Cristiano Ronaldo he's off penalties, isn't he? And as dependable a penalty taker as Bruno has generally been throughout his career, and particularly since he came to United, I think we all still remember that pretty horrendous penalty he spooned over the crossbar against Villa when Ronaldo very kindly stepped aside. And I kind of feel like, given that was the outcome then, you're probably not going to get another opportunity to take a penalty when you're on the same pitch as Ronaldo, if that was your first attempt at it. So I would have thought, as much as Ronaldo will want to forget that pretty dreadful penalty from last weekend, my hunch is he's probably still on them.
Do you need a Manchester United attacker going into this double, Ronaldo?
Yes, I think you do. And this topic about Bruno Fernandes versus Cristiano Ronaldo, I think for me is very, very simple. Bruno Fernandes is the outstanding option between the two. And the key word here is chances created, as you mentioned, Kelly. You know, since Rangnick switched to a 4-3-3, Bruno's created 4-4-7 chances in his last three games. So regardless of the tactics employed, he's still creating these chances. And for example, against Burnley, his XA amounted to 0.33, which emphasizes that he's creating chances, but his teammates are unable to finish. Southampton have the third most big chances conceded in the last four game weeks, and one of the worst XG conceded in the league. So this matchup bodes really well for chances creation for Bruno Fernandes.
Interesting. Is there any value in the rest of midfield? Jules, if you're not going to fight Paul Pogba's corner now, we really know he isn't worth bringing in.
Oh, man, as you know, he's my boy. I'm completely biased here, but I think he's an interesting call because we've mentioned Bruno and the chances creation and all of that, which is great. I think Pogba, certainly for what Rangnick wants him to do, it has to be much more in the box than maybe he was before. And we saw that against Burnley with the goal. Could even have had two, to be fair. He's only owned by 7.3%. So if you're looking for a differential and you've got that kind of money, 7.4 million. So this is still quite an investment, but obviously he's fresh and fit because he didn't play for 3 months. He's really hungry, and he loves working with Rangnick. And I think that what Rangnick wants him to do is better for our game. If you want to have Pogba in your team, because I expect him to be much more in the box than he was before, for example, and on the end of crosses, or maybe starting move or doing the assist. So I think it'd be very interesting. Maybe it's a little bit too early because he only had one game back in the league. Maybe wait a little bit. But if you have that money and you look for a differential with a double game week, I think Pogba could be a good answer too.
Defensively, one clean sheet in seven matches. Is there any value there? David De Gea has certainly been busy this season as well, Tom.
Yeah, I bought David De Gea in for this game week. I mean, as you say, they haven't been particularly solid of late defensively, but they kept a clean sheet at home to West Ham in their most recent game at Old Trafford. And I think we have seen signs from United at home this season that they perhaps tend to be a little bit more solid at home than away from home, albeit having also been thrashed 5-0 by Liverpool not too far back. Yeah, I think the difficulty with United defenders is that you're not going to get much from them in terms of attacking returns, despite the fact they've got defenders with quite attacking profiles. You know, Diogo Dalot, who's obviously come in on the right-hand side and is a player who gets on the ball a lot in quite advanced positions. The hierarchy on the left-hand side is slightly less clear-cut, although, you know, Luke Shaw seemed to have the advantage for the time being. But yeah, I feel like if you're looking for a way into that United back line in this game week, my feeling is that both in terms of his first team status, you know, being guaranteed to start both games, and in terms of potential returns, I think De Gea is the safest bet.
Okay, let's move on to Brighton then. Given they travelled to struggling Watford and Manchester United, who were, as we've said, held at Burnley, do you see this actually as a pretty appealing double for them, Jules?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think Neil Maupay, and by the way, his name is Maupay, not Maupay, not all those that nonsense. I think he's been in this league long enough now for everyone to know his name is Maupay. He still misses a few chances for my liking, and it's not criticism of him. I think he's well aware of that, where I think they create a lot for him, and at times he should be a bit more clinical, and I think he'll be an even better asset. I know you've got him, Kels, but a double game week like this for a team like Brighton, who's really full of confidence, really, and are playing so well collectively. I think Bissouma has been in great form since coming back from the AFCON, and I think you need to look for a Brighton asset if you don't have one already in your team, whether that's Mopay, whether it's someone in midfield, although it's a bit harder to find because McAllister, Trossard, you never know which one is going to shine, which one is going to score, and they're quite inconsistent in a way. Or defensively, even with Burn leaving, I think they're still pretty solid. So certainly look for Brighton assets, and I think Mopay is a really good shot.
Yeah, Mopay is having his best ever Premier League season, 6.5 million. He's actually the fifth best forward in the entire game in a season, Ronaldo, where forwards haven't exactly been setting the game alight. We've struggled to know where to look. Is he a really good option, would you say?
I think all the points that Jules just made about Mopay is completely correct. His finishing is my worry. However, the team does revolve around him, and he's had three assists in his last four games, which is definitely a good sign. You know, the fact that he was rested against Chelsea probably cements his spot because he's the glue between the front four of Trossard, McAllister, and the two wingbacks. And Welbeck is always injured. So, his minutes is somewhat solidified. However, Potter does tend to rest him against big sides. So there is that kind of worry there. But even with a cameo, Mopay is definitely a shout for the double game week.
Yeah, he's a really nice price point as well, isn't he? What about midfield? Any other options catching your eye, Tom?
Well, as things stand, I've got Eve Bissouma in my starting 11 for this week, mainly because having got a little bit ahead of myself in preparing for the double game weeks to come, I've got a very thin bench going into game week 25. But like Bissouma's been in my team right from the start as a bit of a make weight, as a facilitator of transfers elsewhere. And just having a look at his record so far this season, the only game in which he has returned any points since the start of the season, as you probably don't need reminding, Kelly, was in the home game against Watford. So maybe there's something about those yellow shirts, the sort of general sense of vulnerability that Watford give off that brings out the best in Eve Bissouma. And I, having had him all season, usually as my third sub, I know I'd be annoyed if I did leave him on my bench this week when he's got a double game week and he unexpectedly pops up with an assist. So although he's probably the least likely Brighton midfielder or attacker to score points, I'm giving him his chance to shine.
What about Alexis McAllister? He's one on a few people's radars since his 15 points in game week 21 at Everton, 5.3 million. Or if you want to spend a little bit more, Leandro Trossard, we expect him to return this weekend having had COVID. Would either of those catch your fancy, Jules?
Yeah, I think McAllister showing that Everton game how good he is on the ball. We knew that, and how well he can hit the ball too, and he's a very intelligent and aware player. The problem is, as we mentioned with Ronaldo before, he's a bit inconsistent, so he would have a really good game. And then also because of the structure of Brighton and the way they play, it doesn't always go through him or Trossard, or they've got so many ways of attacking and so many patterns of play that sometimes he gets quiet, and then the following game he will pop out again and score one or two or give an assist, etc. And same for Trossard. So this one is a bit more, I'm a bit more cautious and wary of the fact that they're a bit hot and cold. Not because they're not good players, but because of the way Brighton plays. So yeah, you could of course try one of the two. I still think Mopay is a safer bet if you want.
Defensively, Brighton have a lower expected goals conceded than all of the teams outside the top three, and they're fifth for fewest goals conceded. Is there a standout pick there, or is Robert Sanchez still the best option? He's the third most owned goalkeeper in the game, Ronaldo.
I think the safest pick would be Cucurella. You could also do Dunk, who has some attacking threat on set pieces, but at 5.1 million, it is not the cheapest option. Yes, he does love to bomb forward, but statistically, he's not as great or impressive as he seems to be on the eye test. So, you have to hope for one clean sheet, and the attacking return from a guy like Cucurella is, I think, purely luck. It's a fun punt, but I'm not sure I would go there. And as you mentioned, Sanchez is a very, very solid keeper for the double game week. And I think a lot of managers will have sort of a debate on whether to start David De Gea or Sanchez for this game week. And in that case, you have to decide who's going to perform better in that matchup between Brighton and Man United. for a situation like this, when you don't know the actual answer to who's the better option or who's the outstanding option, in terms of FPL management, it is a game of risk management, and David De Gea's effective ownership is going to be extremely high. So I would protect against the EO and go for De Gea over Sanchez's game week.
Some people may only have one Brighton player and it may be Robert Sanchez if they're then benching him. Is it okay to go into this game week without any Brighton cover, would you say?
I think so. I'm possibly on the, you know, I don't want to be fence sitting here, but I think I'm sort of against a Brighton move because I'm trying to target the larger double game week in 26. So it's more of a strategy move than whether there's a good emerging asset for a double game week 25.
Yeah, that's probably a really important point as well, isn't it? To remember there may be a double game week this week, but there's an even bigger one around the corner. Well, that's Manchester United and Brighton covered off. And in case you missed the other news, there has been a double game week 27 confirmed, just the news we needed in what was already a blank game week. Burnley will play twice as Burnley versus Leicester, meaning Leicester now don't blank. That's been slotted in to 27. That does mean that the next three game weeks are doubles, with eight teams also playing twice in a bumper game week 26. Two. Your essential preview for that will, of course, be out next Thursday. But for now, back to the fixtures for Game Week 25. The deadline for Game Week 25 is Saturday, the 12th of February at 11 a.m. UK time. A reminder, as well as being a double, it is also a blank game week for both Chelsea and Arsenal, so they will not play this week. But it does all kick off on Saturday with Manchester United's first double game week fixture against Southampton. Sorry, Southampton fans. This one ended 9-0 to United last year. There is then three games at 3 p.m. Brentford Palace, Everton host Leeds, and Watford against Brighton in Roy Hodgson's first home game in charge. Norwich versus Manchester City is the late game. The Canaries are unbeaten in their last three matches in the league. Four Sunday matches too: Burnley versus Liverpool, Newcastle go looking for a third straight win against Aston Villa, Spurs host Wolves, and then at 4:30, Leicester welcome West Ham. There is a bit of a breather then on Monday before Manchester United and Brighton face off in their double game week fixture at Old Trafford. It's time now for our panellists to preview one fixture each. Let's start with you, Jules, with Arsenal not in action this week. You've been forced to look elsewhere.
Yeah, I went for Norwich, Manchester City, because the last two games they played against each other, City won 5-0. 5-0, by the way, is also the record of Pep Guardiola in his games against Dean Smith. It looks on paper very much one-sided, and I think it will be, unfortunately, Norwich fans, I'm sorry. Even if, as we all remember, back in 2019, somehow you managed to beat City. But I think this one will go City's way. And one player that I think is really interesting is Riyad Mahrez, because he's only owned by 3.2% of the managers. If you look at his points return in the first 16 game week of the season, I think the highest was 6 points. And since then, since game week 17 up to today, considering that, for example, he was away for the AFCON, so didn't miss out two games, his point returns was 10, 9, 10, 12, 13. So he's been incredible. I can tell you what changed. He proposed to his girlfriend, Taylor, and she's pregnant. So you see, happy off the pitch, aww, happy on the pitch. This is, I think, Riyad Mahrez on penalties now, as Pep confirmed or announced, whatever way you want to see it. I think he's a really, really good shot if you've got the money again, 8.6 million.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because a lot of people will be looking at the double game weeks. But when Manchester City have a fixture such as Norwich, would you be saying you've got to hold their players, Jules?
Oh, 100%. I mean, De Bruyne is in great form as well. We mentioned him in the past couple of shows as well on, like, okay, he's expensive, but now is the moment. If you look at his point returns again, he's so in form, so decisive, so influential in that team, far more than a Bernardo Silva or Phil Foden that I unfortunately own and has been pretty useless. So I think KDB, of course, but he's expensive. Otherwise, and 16% ownership now, I think Riyad Mahrez is really, if you're looking to invest into a City player, I think he's the guy.
8.6 million if you do want to invest in Riyad Mahrez. Are you also a bit mindful though, Jules, that the Champions League does return in midweek? They've got a trip to Lisbon to face Sporting. Is Pep Roulette about to reemerge?
It might be, especially if no one goes out. So, you know, he's not forced to bench anyone. But I still think that Mahrez right now is a much safer bet than maybe he was earlier in the season.
Okay, let's move on to another fixture. Andy, you've picked Burnley versus Liverpool. We already know it does sound like you're going to go into this without Mo Salah.
Yeah, no Mo Salah, and it is very, very worrying. You know, there's a couple of things to digest or dissect regarding this fixture. Obviously, Wout Weghorst from Burnley is a very, very enticing option, especially with all his fixtures to make up. But the key question is Mo Salah. Mo Salah, while, you know, Liverpool, while he was gone to AFCON, Liverpool still managed to get 12 goals and 2 goals conceded in 5 games. So without their star man, they were able to do really well. With that being said, Mo Salah has 16 goals, 9 assists in the league. And while Liverpool has 52 goals from 20 games this season, he's been involved in 48% of them. So he's a key part of their attacking output. And while Mo Salah was in the Liverpool team, they attacked 40% through the right zone. So it just goes to show that this team revolves around Mo Salah. Salah's record against Burnley is actually not that good. He has 0 goals in the last 10 Premier League games. But I would take this historical data lightly because, you know, things change, team tactics change, managers change, players change. So, you know, Burnley have not been solid defensively this season. A very interesting stat that I do want to mention is Burnley have conceded 9 goals in their home matches. So actually, they're way better at home than away. But Liverpool have 33 goals in 11 away games, highlighting that they're actually better away from Anfield. So it's a very interesting matchup in terms of these stats. And finally, from a storytelling perspective, this is the classic case of a informed top side versus a back against the wall relegation team. So it's sort of like a confidence versus desperation thing. Burnley have to win. Burnley have to get points. They have to stay in the league while Liverpool are trying to maximize their plan A, plan B, while managing Salah and Mane's fitness for the Champions League. So very, very excited for this game.
You mentioned Wout Weghorst there. Is he an option going even further forward? Because at 6.5 million, as we've already said, there haven't been too many standout forward options this season. He set up the equaliser against Manchester United. If you were to bring him in over the next few weeks, you're going to get more doubles than any other team.
He is an absolutely very enticing option. And by 26, I do believe that a lot of FPL managers will have them. And I'll try to explain why. Burnley is, for example, in the Man United versus Burnley game, United have a total of 518 total passes, while Burnley had half in 288. But both teams had an equivalent amount of long passes, which just emphasizes that Burnley's plan A, plan B, plan C is always to play the long ball. So if they're playing the long ball, they're always finding a guy like Chris Wood, who's been replaced by Wout. And, you know, Wout is not so great physically or positioning wise, but it's the subtlety in his first touch that bodes well for this Burnley team. So Burnley, after they play the long ball, will always try to win the second ball. And I think that Wout will be very involved in their goals if they do score. And a guy like Cornet comes into the picture because he's going to go try to win that second ball. I think with the amount of fixtures they need to make up and signs and again, this desperation of staying in the league, this all couples and combines well for Wout Weghorst to be a very good option moving forward.
Yeah, I've got my eye on Neil Mopay to Wout Weghorst for Burnley's doubles. So basically, I asked that for myself to check that I was making the right transfer. So that was a perfect answer. Thank you very much. I'm sure I'm not the only one considering that, though. Finally, Tom, you're looking at Leicester versus West Ham.
Yeah, I've got 2 West Ham players in my squad currently. Jared Bowen, who's in my starting 11, and Vladimir Soufal is currently on the bench as my one and only substitute liable to play this weekend. As we know, West Ham, lots of attacking potential, particularly in the form of Jared Bowen, but also pretty solid defensively. 3 clean sheets in the last 4 games. Soufal has been doing the business for me. You've also got people like Aaron Cresswell. We all know about his threat from set pieces. Don't see a huge amount of value in that Leicester team. James Maddison is the obvious one, 6.9 million. So, you know, not a bad price. And we saw in the Liverpool game yesterday that even though Leicester were fairly comfortably beaten, when anything positive happened for them in the Liverpool half, it was generally Maddison who was involved. He had their only shot on target. He's the guy who's stringing things together. And, you know, Leicester do have good fixtures coming up. I wouldn't be in any hurry to bring in Leicester players for this weekend. But going forward, they're one of those teams who've got a lot of ground to make up. And so, I can see a lot of us bringing in players like James Maddison over the next few weeks. Another one who's worth mentioning is, I think, Patson Daka. 3 goals in 4 games. 7.2 million, so he's not cheap, but he's only owned by 2% of managers currently, so he's a real differential. He now faces competition again from Kelechi Iheanacho, who's back and available, but Daka has been starting games of late, so that might be one to look at in the sort of medium term. But yeah, for me, I am backing a West Ham win here and hoping that Jared Bowen will keep on doing the business for me.
Sinaldo, I quickly want to ask you a question. I think every single panellist has been asked this season, is it time to finally get rid of Mikel Antonio? He's only contributed over 5 points on two occasions since his goal in game week 6. A lot of people have kept him just because they've had other problems in their team to sort out. I'm intrigued to know your stance on the Hammers front man.
Absolutely. It's definitely time to get, rid of Antonio. Antonio is a great player, but if you look at the season, all his points are bunched in, as you mentioned, the first 6 game weeks, especially the first 3 game weeks. And since then, in every statistical category you can imagine for an attacker, he's, sort of fallen off a cliff. So Antonio has to go. There's going to be more emerging options and a lot more doubles to play for other forwards, such as Maupay and Vout. So Bowen is plenty enough for the West Ham team.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. I watched West Ham live on Tuesday and I very much agree. Remember, get those teams ready by 11 a.m. UK time on Saturday. Next up, it's time for transfers and captains. Okay, time for our panel to be decisive and see what they are doing with their teams. I'm going to come to you first, Sinaldo. What are your plans?
So I have two double game weekers in David De Gea as well as Cristiano Ronaldo, who's going to be my captain this week. I did bring in Son last week, who's, as you can tell, my favorite player. And that's kind of blocked me out of getting in Bruno as well as Salah this week. So I think I'm going to roll, take it on the chin, hopefully, get a small green arrow, worst case, small red arrow. And then again, attack the larger double game week in 26.
Jules, are you going to be as balanced and as calm as Sinaldo?
Always.
Or are you planning loads of transfers?
No, always. Like, me and Sinaldo are brothers from another mother. So I'm thinking about Maupay. Not Maupay, but Maupay, as we mentioned earlier. And Pogba. I'm not sure exactly if I'm going to bring one of them. I like the idea of having Neil Maupay in the team because I feel that it could be a really good double game week for him. And then Cristiano as a captain. But yeah, I'm still undecided over Maupay, Pogba, or just keeping the same and wait, like Sinaldo explained very well for the following one.
There's a lot of sensible opinions on the podcast today. I always get to this point of the podcast and I want to bring in every player that has been talked up. What about you at this point?
Well, I've been rashing the extreme already this game week. I made a triple transfer on Tuesday, which is extremely foolish. Partly to prepare for this week, but also to prepare for the game weeks to come, notably the double game week in game week 26. So I have shipped out Emiliano Martinez, Phil Foden and Bernardo Silva to take in the risk that City run in a hatful of goals at Carrow Road. And I bought in David De Gea for that Man United double game week, Mo Salah, because otherwise I'll just be hiding behind the sofa all weekend, and Martin Ødegaard, who of course doesn't even have a game this week. The thinking there is that I'll get a decent points haul this week. I won't have to make any further transfers in game week 26. So I can sit back, watch the points roll in. And then when we get onto that blank game week in game week 27, I'll have a couple of transfers to play with. That at least is the theory.
So I have a question for, I guess, Tom, Kelly, and Julia. I've been trying to be sensible here, and Jules has sort of swayed me into the possible Maupay move.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you think? Do you think it's worth going for him over a Watford striker, which I have both of Dennis and Joshua King?
100%. Why is that a question, Sinaldo? Of course. A Frenchman against two Watford players who have Roy Hodgson as a manager. I would go for Maupay every day, my friend.
Yeah, two Watford strikers. I think a lot of people are going to have that, aren't they? Because they got enticed by the Watford double game week. You've got Emmanuel Dennis, I see, and Joshua King. Maupay, the reason I'm very happy to have Maupay for what my view is worth is the fact that you can go straight to Wout Weghorst if you want to. So that's my plan. I already have Maupay and I'm going to go to Weghorst the week after. It may be a ridiculous decision, but it's a decision I've currently settled on. So yeah, go for it. Go for Mope. I'm very much aboard the Mope machine. Well, guys, I think you all covered captaincy. It's Cristiano Ronaldo, isn't it? Very quickly, Tom, when you do look at some of the other fixtures, Salah's got Burnley away, De Bruyne, Foden, Cancelo all at Norwich. Would you be tempted to do a single game weeker?
Yeah, the thought has crossed my mind. I mean, if you're doing it purely on form, you wouldn't be giving the armband to Ronaldo because, as we know, he hasn't scored a goal in 5 game weeks, and United have produced a lot of very uneven, very clanky performances where they're good one half and then absolutely hopeless the next. I think there is an argument to be made for captaining Mo Salah if you brought him in for captain one of those in-form City attackers, because even if United win both of those games, you can see them being squeaky 1-0 wins. So it is by no means a given that Ronaldo's going to bring in a hatful of points. But I remember banging the drum for Ronaldo long and loud, probably about 2 months back on the podcast, given the run of fixtures United were about to embark upon. Clearly, things haven't really worked out as I predicted they would in terms of his points return. But I think if you've got Ronaldo, if you've held on to him with this double game week in mind and you don't captain him, then you do run the risk of him suddenly clicking and, you know, smashing a load of goals in. So I feel like the most sensible approach, the approach least likely to leave you with a huge amount of FPL remorse is to captain Ronaldo and hope that he shakes himself out of this rut that he's in at the moment.
FPL remorse, no one wants that. Hopefully we'll all be celebrating green arrows. Hopefully this is the week where Cristiano Ronaldo finally comes to life. I am sure he is going to be the most captain player going into this game week. We hope this has been useful for you today. My thanks go to Julian, Tom and Sonaldo. A brilliant debut from you for joining me this week. Don't forget the deadline again is 11 a.m. UK time on Saturday. Fantasy.premierleague.com and the Premier League app is another useful place for you to visit for more FPL content. But from us, it's goodbye, and we'll be back next Thursday.